Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. We have another great show for you this morning. The DC Black Theater Festival is among the coveted venues for playwrights and stage performers, especially for individuals aspiring to make it big in theater. This morning, another good friend of mine has returned to these airways to talk about her role and that of her cast in this prestigious event in Washington, D.C. And she's joined by an absolutely hilarious gentleman. Family, I'm telling you, he's going to crack you up this morning. Yep, Charlotte will be represented well in Washington, D.C. So get ready. A great show ahead here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Joining me this morning is playwright Pijana DuBose, founder and president of Mayan Productions. Ms. DuBose's provocative and inspirational stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me, will be featured during the D.C. Black Theater Festival. Also joining me is an incredibly gifted, hilarious, and warm talent, Mr. Cedrus Nuff Said Brown, who plays a notorious drug dealer, Mike Evans, in the hit stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's not supposed to be dead silence.
Oh, right. I thought you might have said something about some, hey, what? So good to see y'all this morning, sweetie. Got in the studio with us today. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ron. Okay, we ready.
Oh, now we know. Oh, when you said we're ready, you said that first. Ready enough saying. That was the beginning. Okay, I got you now. I'm real ready now.
We ready now. I'm sorry.
Like the kids say, I'm ready for real, for real.
We are having a good time here in the studio this morning. It is absolutely amazing. Nuff said, you are an absolutely crazy.
Well, I so appreciate it. I think that's a compliment. Really know how to take that, Jesus.
Lord. Do you bring this kind of energy to the stage?
Well, sir, I sure hope so. The people keep calling me for jobs. So, you know, as long as they call me, I'm going to come.
Right.
I just try to make people laugh. I believe the laughter does a heart good like medicine. And you know, mm-hmm. I believe we can really laugh ourselves to life.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
So it is what it is. You know, yeah. I think we need to laugh more and worry less. And, you know, I think God is like that, the fast food joint. Man, have you had your break today? You deserve a break today. Cast all your cares and words upon me because I care for you. That's amen. The loss. Hey, glory. How? I feel it in my, down around. Wait a minute. Hello. That was something else. Hey, God is good.
Absolutely. We are having such a wonderful time. Peaches,
we are. Hi.
I am so excited for you. I'm so glad to see you.
Thank you.
It's been
so
a while.
Wonderful to be back.
Yeah.
And she looking
yeah.
good.
Yeah, she looks good.
Oh, you're so
in the name of the Lord.
Am I going to be able to get through this interview?
Yes, you'll be able to make it. If I have to pop Nuff Said to get him to behave.
Oh, yeah. You one of them kind of saints. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Lord.
Lord Jesus, have mercy.
Ooh. Oh, put a little Shirley season on it.
Did he say Shirley season?
Yeah. I'm just saying, you were trying to, well, I ain't gonna go there.
Yeah. How you doing,
I don't think I'm going to be able to ask one question.
Yes, you'll be able to ask questions.
No, okay. But listen, I enjoy your spirit.
Yes.
And I think that's what we need.
Yes.
You know, we're too serious, and yeah. we're coming off of a week where Boston just occurred, and mm-hmm. there's so much anxiety and angst in this country.
Yeah.
And if we're not laughing mm-hmm. and we take ourselves too seriously, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be bored. I want to yeah. laugh. I want to have a good time.
Yeah, me
absolutely.
Too.
Yep.
Me too. I sure want to have a good time. I don't think I want to, you know, just wake up dead one day and then like, ooh, you should have laughed dead. Last night. I missed it. It was over. I didn't get a chance to allow a word instead of laughing. Imagine that. You need the last chance. You ain't get a... Oh, I just think realistic. I'm a realist. I don't get no realer than that.
Now, Peaches, you and your cast are heading to Washington, D.C. for
yes,
the Black Theater Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what you expect and what your assignment will be.
Well, I'm expecting for our hit stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me, to have a wonderful impact on all who see it.
Mm-hmm.
We're a part of a week-long festival, and we've been afforded the wonderful opportunity to be selected to perform in this week-long festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be featuring playwrights from all over the country. We are part of the latter part of the week, which is June 28th, and we're going to be at the Howard University campus at their theater, the Aldridge Theater. And we're just in high expectation. This is going to help bring our production to a national level. So we're like overwhelmed.
And I suspect that you are really excited about
it. I am.
Absolutely.
I am.
That's
as well as the rest of the cast.
Now, what is the selection
I just got to tell the truth.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Tell the truth.
This Jesus Radio, so I just got to tell the truth. Now, I'm excited, but I'm nervous.
Really?
Oh, I'm nervous.
No, say it.
Why are you nervous?
Oh, I'm nervous. Yeah, we're going to D.C.
Yes, we're going to D.C.
And I'm going to tell you, I heard what goes down in D.C.
What goes down in D.C.?
Oh, Lord. Oh, ain't nothing we do down here in the Bible Belt. I'm just saying. Because they got them Holy Ghost go-go clubs up there I heard about. Yeah, they well, go-go music, but it's all for the Lord. It's church.
No, it's not.
I'm just nervous about it.
No, we're going to be in the festivities area. No go-go clubs in that area, so you have nothing to worry about.
Oh. Now, okay? Which leads me to the question. You will be performing in front of huge audiences there, as well as your peers. Mm-hmm. So how do you prepare for that moment where you have to showcase not only the talent you have, but the passion that you bring to your work?
Well, it's really nothing different than what we do anytime we do a production. Mm-hmm. You know, we pray and we just give it our best shot. No matter what the audience is, we're just going to keep it like we always do.
Yeah.
100%.
So how do you prepare for it, though? Outside of rehearsal, what do you do in terms of, and enough said, I know you can jump in because you're playing a drug dealer in the play.
Right.
How do you prepare for being a drug dealer?
Well, actually, I just really, I think more
he's
of my family.
He's getting into character.
Your family?
Yeah, man. We don't really call it drug dealing.
What do you call
that's amazing. We like you see how you transform like that?
Yeah. Refer to it as basically a supply and demand. Like a life distributor.
Okay.
You see?
Okay.
Yeah, you have a need and we supply what you need, you see. So my name is Mike, by the way, and
yes, he'll be playing Mike.
Everybody needs what I got. They just don't know it yet. Yeah, that night when you're down at your last and nobody listen to you, talk to you, you call me, and I send your little friend over. You see.
I think he was asking you, where do you get your inspiration from?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what he was asking?
Yes.
Well, see, first of all, I just be thinking about it.
That was Mike a few minutes ago.
Yeah, okay. I'll be thinking about the, basically what goes on. I have to do my demographic research.
Yeah,
you know, I have to do my discovery, my internal review, and I have to do a lot of internalization. So a lot of things that I think about in a certain character, you may never hear by any means in word, but see certain passions, you know, and there's some real things I can hit on to take me to different emotions or whatever. And, you know, everybody thinks that it's just because I can cry. That means I'm an actor. No, it doesn't. Because it's much more powerful to watch an individual restrain tears than it is to watch them cry.
Absolutely.
See, then you leave the audience an opportunity to cry for you. Mm-hmm. You see, it's just like humor. A lot of people use a slapstick comedy and they say, oh, yeah, that's going to be funny. No, that's not funny. You rob the audience of their opportunity to laugh because they're so busy laughing at you as opposed to laughing for you. And that's the power of the actor.
Right.
So that's kind of like the techniques that I study.
Now, Peaches, will you guys be performing the entire play? Is it the full version?
Yes, it's the entire production. Mm-hmm, our particular show starts at 9 that evening on June 28th. It's a full 2-hour show.
Okay.
The full production.
Now, as you know, I had an opportunity to interview your friend, our friend, playwright Vicki Evans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know Ms. Vicki Evans. I did two shows with her, one show with her.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the state of black theater and what is happening in the industry. Talk a little bit from your perspective about what is going on in the industry and why it's so difficult for certain playwrights to reach certain pinnacles in the industry.
Well, I think if you ask in my honest opinion, man, I feel like a lot of people have pimped, if I can use that word, they pimped our audience. Our audience participants, and by way of putting up product that isn't heartfelt, just to make a quick dollar, and I think that has pretty much turned a lot of a lot of the audience or people that would normally come out and really enjoy what we do.
Yeah.
So with that, you get actors that are not as serious mm-hmm. about the art of it, you know. And I think in order to drive, if you want to do that, you simply have to watch and study the game.
Yeah.
You have to watch people. You have to study people if you intend on, you know, going or growing to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. And your thoughts on it?
I don't know if we have enough time, but I will try to paraphrase as much as possible. Me being a playwright and promoter, producer, there's a lot of wonderful things going on in the industry as far as providing platforms for people, mm-hmm. Giving people continuous work, continuous exposure, continuous platforms. There's also another side of it that's not too pretty, which I've experienced firsthand, and that's a specifically urban playwright industry. There's a tremendous amount of non-support for other people who are trying to provide things that benefit the industry as a whole. It's like people feel like if they're not benefit off of it, they don't want to support. And
yeah.
That's a painful process that I've experienced myself.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
in terms of individuals like Tyler Perry, who reached a really high
awesome
pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Are there gatekeepers in the way of people like yourself and even novices getting into the industry that prevent folks from reaching that pinnacle? Or is there a system, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that prevents, you know, certain folks from getting to a particular level?
Well, unfortunately, it's been my experience that people who are at a higher level than myself,
mm-hmm.
They're very influential. And then you come from a generation of people who can't think for themselves. So if someone says, well, I wouldn't participate in that event, a lot of times they tend to go with the naysayers versus getting to know that person or that production company for themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's more so, I guess it's a cross in between the both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough said. How do you overcome that?
Well, when you're overcoming objectives, period, it's going to take togetherness,
yeah.
unity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without any unity, it's together we stand, divided we fall. I mean, that's forever. We've been saying and quoting that chant,
mm-hmm.
and it's so true. Until we learn to come together, and that's the community of all,
mm-hmm.
the actors, the producers, the writers,
mm-hmm.
and really decide to put up a product. But the truth and the reality is that's like asking for world peace when we know there won't be any.
Mm-hmm.
So then what you have to do as you as the individual production company or individual actor,
mm-hmm.
you have to be on your game. You have
mm-hmm.
to be sincere and passionate about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll display in your work.
Because
yeah.
support is so necessary. None of us can survive without support. I posted about this on Facebook yesterday. Even Tyler Perry, when he has a new movie coming out, David E. Talbert, when they have a new movie coming out, what do? They do commercials. They ask the people to come out and support their stuff. No matter what level you're on, without the people actually coming to support what you're doing, you won't survive.
Well, Peaches, what can you do to get people motivated to support the kind of message that you're trying to convey on the stage?
Well, I guess they have to see your passion and the purpose and what it is that you're doing. I try to make my productions where people can relate to them and find it, make them feel like this is necessary for me to see and partake of. That's part of my tactic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, enough said. I really admire your passion and your energy, but I want to talk a little bit about the character that you play and why it's important for you to bring the kind of passion that is so evident here and the message you're trying to convey to the audience.
Well, first of all, it's important and I'm needed because I'm real.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whatever you need, I'm it.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, we all have tendencies. We all have habits.
Are you in character now? Are you in character now?
Sir, my name is Mike.
Yes, he's in character.
So I'm just saying, did you want to talk to me or did you want to talk to Nuff Said? See, you need to make yourself plain.
Now,
woman, you stay in your place. You don't tell me what to do.
This is my liquor house. Oh, we all got some
radio. I respect that, but I'm just saying, this man asked me a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talking to me, you talking to Nuff Said.
I guess I'm talking to Mike.
All right. Very well, then. As I was.
You better watch your tone, because you in my liquor house.
Peaches, I understand that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The man asked me a question.
Mm-hmm. But you raised your voice at me, though. This is my spot.
Listen, we all know you run this spot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which, speaking of which, meaning to talk to you about a few things.
What's up?
This cheap liquor. Huh? What's up with that?
It's a liquor house.
Yeah, why are you watering it down so much?
No,
huh?
Ain't nobody watering nothing down.
Times a little tight for you.
No, you want premium prices, pay premium money.
Tell you what you need to do, take some of this product and sell with that liquor over there. It might make your business raise up a little bit.
Oh, really? Nobody else is complaining.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
That's what I thought.
So when you ask me about Mike, Mike is needed because in a situation of life, we all have to deal with drugs one way or the other. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. Either you yourself are a user of some sort of drug or you know somebody that is. And that's the 6 degrees of separation is even less than that when it comes down to drug in reality.
Yes.
So with that, Mike shows a character that is, again, that supplier, that one fix that everybody needs to get that bridge over from one day to the other. And then sometimes your bridge may be in regards to financial struggle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your bridge may be in regards to dealing with hardship, heartache. Mm-hmm. You see, and then sometimes your drug may simply be dealing with yourself. Mm. You see?
Yeah.
So that's why Mike is needed. I'm here to help you be a better you. I'm here to establish your relationships with your family. Make sure y'all stay real close, because when you need that dollar, you're going to come holler at me. Yeah. After you holler at them.
Yeah, that's a big part that he represents, is the temptation part of the play.
Yeah.
And how to overcome that temptation.
Now, The Devil Thought He Had Me is your life story.
Yes, sir.
Your struggle with domestic violence and a whole host of other things. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what your experience is and how you deal with this in your stage play.
Wow. It's every time we rehearse or every time we go over certain scenes in particular, it takes me back, and to me it's just a reminder of what my testimony is and why I should continue to tell my story.
Mm-hmm. Have you reached a place of peace in your life subsequent all that you've experienced?
I have. Mm-hmm. And that's what brought me to be able to do the production. You have to reach a certain level of peace to be able to tell people such a painful story. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, absolutely, I have.
Now, how were you able to successfully get folks to embrace this story, embrace the storyline that you're trying to tell, mm-hmm. embrace the passion, and even the violence that takes place? Mm-hmm. Because some people are squeamish about the kinds of plays that they're participating in. So how did you get them to embrace what you're trying to convey?
Well, my casting process is very much, it's like a screening process. Mm-hmm. I have to cast people who either have experienced it themselves or witness someone they love experience it. So therefore, it becomes just as much of a passion for them as it is for me. And they understand the importance of bringing the story out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they have to share the same passion.
Yeah. In terms of Nuff said, what do you do to prepare for that passion? Is it something that you have experience in, or is it something that you read the script and then you get into character?
Like I told you earlier, man, all I do is I think about life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I think about life, I think about it in color, if you will. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, my mother's first husband, she's married to all of maybe 6 months. He was an abusive man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was James. All right. He was extremely jealous, and it was because of his own inabilities and his own the things he just weren't happy or pleased with himself. So he took it out on her. And so I'll never forget the night where I came into the room. He was beating my mother, and he took a shotgun and he put it to my head, and he told me to go back into the room, and he blew my brains out. So as he beat on my mother, and I went back, I took my mother's purse and I went in and I just went through a phone book. And I had this Mickey Mouse phone in my room, and I just called on it. Mm-hmm. And I remember dialing a number that I saw, and it was highlighted. It just so happened to be his aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I told his aunt, I said, listen, he's beating my mama. I need you to call the police, mm-hmm. call help. I was scared to call 911 because I didn't want the sirens mm-hmm. to alarm her, to alarm him, and have him do something to her. So she ended up calling the police, and they came over. And my mother was strong enough to get out of that situation. It only took that one time, you see.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women suffer, and they suffer with their own discomforts, and, you know, within themselves and their own inabilities, or they're in their own prison, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad, man, that they feel they have to stay with this person. And sometimes on the flip side, it ain't always just the women. You see, sometimes it's the men that go through abuse. I've been in a situation similar to that, and thank God mine was so minor and I immediately got out. You know, it was what it was. But when you look at it and put it together, as a whole, man, domestic violence is so real, and they're children. And I come from that child perspective and say, listen, son, I was you when I was a little boy. It's going to be all right, but you got to do your part as a child to encourage your mother to do what's right, to get out of those situations. And again, we know how times are, man, and it's really a dangerous situation all the way around, depending on what level of individual you're
dealing. But Peaches, why stay? Why stay?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of reasons. Some women stay because of finances. You know, he provides a certain lifestyle, or she provides a certain lifestyle. Like Nuff said, just said, it goes both ways. Women, men are abused as well, too. Fear is a big factor, too, the threats.
Absolutely.
I'm going to kill you if you leave. I can't tell you how many times, you know, my ex-husband told me that. If you leave me, I'll kill you, or I'll harm the kids. I mean, they get that desperate and threaten to harm the children if you leave. Mm-hmm. And some people say for sexual reasons, too. You know, it's, yeah.
Is the sex that good?
They think so. Really? My situation was fear. Mm-hmm. I actually thought he was going to kill me. But some women tell me, oh, it's so good. And I'm like, are you serious? Really? You know?
Wow.
They
That's
have different.
Deadly good.
Yeah. I can't think of nothing that good.
So, I don't want none of that.
Yeah. Well, those are the three top reasons. Yeah. Financial, fear, and sexual reasons why some of them stay.
And the play is an avenue where you can tell people, warn women in particular, their way of escape.
Yes.
Yeah.
What ways?
No, in terms of your play,
yes.
You give them some tools.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, my particular situation, I mean, because I can only write my story how it came. It came because of my faith.
Yeah.
Me having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the cast member who portrays my grandmother, she really helped drive that home. How I was raised and what was instilled in me to really draw my strength from was my faith.
Yeah.
And sometimes we stray away from what we know, but when it's needed, we come back to it. And that was how I came back, to my whole being.
Yeah. Now, talk about your other cast members. Are they getting ready? Are they geared up?
Yes, they are. They are.
Shout their names out for them.
Okay, we have my pastor who plays Miss San. Her name is Apostle Miriam Keller. She plays the drunk. A pastor who plays a drunk. How ironic is that?
Yeah,
she's hilarious.
Off the chain, funny, just amazing woman. And we have Roderick who plays Calvin, my cousin, who is the reformed drug dealer, so to speak, and trying to resist the temptation of Mike.
Yeah,
Mike's trying to bring him back into the game because, Roderick's character is trying to live the straight and narrow now, but he's struggling. He can't get a job because he's a felon. And so what do most felons do when they can't get a break? They go back to what they know. Therefore, that's where Mike comes in, trying to pull him back into the game. And then we have Terrell Phillips. He's a former member of the group Blackstreet. Phenomenal actor. Mm-hmm. He's toured with Tyler Perry around the country. And he's in Las Vegas for the rest of the week. Just a phenomenal person, phenomenal actor, singer. We have Miss, I call her Miss D. Her name is Dorelian. She's out of Greensboro, and she's a phenomenal singer. She plays my grandmother. And then we have James Sims, who plays my abusive, jealous, insecure ex-husband. He won Actor of the Year for this particular production last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the phenomenal Lakeisha Jordan, who plays Peaches. I mean, the woman is just off the chain.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just... the talent is just off the radar.
Real good.
Now, several weeks ago, you had the Playwrights Ball where you performed some skits of the play. And, and it was actually wonderful to see.
Yes.
And I was...
you did get to see it.
Yeah, and I was particularly delighted that the folks came out and gave the support that they actually needed.
That's amazing. I'm getting a call from one of the cast members now, Mr. Tony Grant. He'll be joining the cast of The Devil Thought He Had Me. He's currently on tour with the National Stage Play right now. My brother Marvin. Sorry, Tony, I have to call you after the interview. But he's another phenomenal talent, too.
Yeah. Now, you're bringing a wealth of talent to the stage play, and they're going to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Now, this is a competition, by the way. There's a competition available.
Well, yeah, for some people. We're not a part of the competition, but there is a certain part of the whole festivities where people do acting Like, you know how you have this poetry slams? It's like an acting slam.
Okay.
But we're part of the theater.
Now, will Nuff Said do something along those lines? Because I'm pretty confident he will win.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. Boy, I love y'all like cooked food. I swear to God I do. I ain't lying. Yeah, hello. We all support team. That's what I need support.
That's
yeah.
That's
right. But show blast off.
Mm-hmm. Well, enough said. Let me ask you, in terms of your career, and was this always part of your plan?
Oh, man, listen. I'm going to tell you something. A guy, Harry McDowell, taught me of 3M Productions. He said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan.
And right.
That, man, I didn't have a plan. You know, I was living. And God was like, man, I got a great plan for you.
Yeah.
And so I always thought, you know, I'd be a pastor in a church and I'd be preaching. And
well, you know, you can preach.
Yes. You best believe that. Yeah, I mean, it's in me. God is, you know, that's what I minister. You know, and I minister the word of God, man, to people, to real people in real situations in real life.
Yeah.
And so that's just what I do. My spontaneous spoken word, my comedy, everything that I do, I bring any show that I'm presenting.
Well, you certainly lit up the hallway here and walked in everybody's office.
That's what's up, man. I feel so good. Stacey Blackman, Big Brown over there, man. I love y'all like cooking food. All y'all up in here. Olympia D, it's great, man.
Yes.
I just love being in the house with y'all, man. Really.
Yeah.
And when I get a radio station behind my name, Lord, we're going to take over the world.
Yes.
I ain't lying. We're going to take over the world. Michael Bay's in all of them. We're coming for you, Mr. Harvey. I ain't going to say Steve. I'm going to say Mr. Harvey.
Mr. Harvey.
Mr. Harvey, coming for you. Give me a little game show. It's gonna be a hood hookup show. Something crazy. You already know. It'd be like, I got like a little what are little phones? That's how we're gonna be broadcasting with a phone. We ain't got no real cameras. A phone, some headsets for microphone.
I want to take a moment to shout out Mr. Ron Holland, who is a phenomenal talent.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you need any kind of radio promotions done, spots, hit him up.
Yeah.
He helps me with my online radio show. His voiceover work is phenomenal.
Well,
shout out to Big Mr. Ron Holland.
Big
in
the building.
I appreciate you, Ron. I really do.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Absolutely.
Ron, we appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
We appreciate you for what you do.
Uh-oh.
It's simply because you, brother, are just being you. Your love, your compassion, the ability to give us the things we need before we start asking.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the budget and understanding all at the same time. You just the type of brother to want to express God through your heart, your words, sentiments, and it reflects through your mind. So that's the reason why I wanted to take this time to say, brother, we appreciate you and everything you do.
Wow.
Love, love.
Thank you, Ron.
Wow, absolutely. So what's next for Pichan? Pichan to do both. You know, you have is that French, by the way? I've been meaning to ask you that.
Well, I could lie and say, yes, it's French. But it's just as African-American as they come.
Okay.
My mother and my grandmother conjured, you know, they made up my name, mm-hmm. and they wanted Peach in it, so they made up Pichanda.
Yeah.
And DuBose is actually my former ex-husband's last name.
Oh, okay.
It sounds great, so that's the only thing I kept
it
from.
It does sound great, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
Well, we're actually planning the second annual Playwrights Ball,
okay.
which will be on a cruise to the Bahamas.
Really?
Year. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I got to get some money ready for this.
Yes, sir.
Well,
get your money right.
It'll be a vacation plus an educational experience at the same time.
They don't take EBT cards. I'm just saying. I called and asked. I wanted to know. They don't take them over there. That's what they said. They said they don't. They said the food is very cheap, but we don't take EBT. You know EBT stands for Eat Better Tonight, right? That's what it stands for. Eat better tonight. You're gonna
this
eat better.
This is what
tonight.
I have to deal with in rehearsal.
I'm sorry.
This is what I have to deal with. But I love it.
Wow. Well, listen, folks. I thank you so much for coming this morning, talking a little bit about your experiences and this wonderful stage play and what you're going to do in DC. And I know the folks there are going to really enjoy it. One more thing. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to add that if you wanted to purchase tickets, if you're in the DC or surrounding areas, you can go to DC Black Theater. Festival.com. Theater is spelled Theatre Festival.com. That's DC Black Theater Festival.com. Tickets go on sale May the 1st. We're also offering a charter bus to anyone who wants to travel to the show with me and the cast. We're leaving from Charlotte. We stop in Salisbury, Greensboro, Winston, and then our last stop is in Richmond before we head to DC. If you're interested in the charter bus, you can call me directly at 336-918-0267. Again, that's 336-918-0267. 1-800-237-6767.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining
me
this morning.
Thank you, Ron.
Amen. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I'd like to again thank playwright Pejana DuBose and the absolutely hilarious Cedrus Nuff Said Brown for coming in this morning. For more information on the Black Theater Festival, log on to dcblacktheater.com. That's theatre.com. Anyone interested in riding the charter bus to the DC Black Theater Festival, you can call Pejana DuBose directly, 336-918-0267. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.